It's Robin Wilson here, and welcome to the Education Podcast, Education Connection Podcast.
Hi, I'm Chris Nessie from the House of EdTech Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Education Connection, and I hope you are having a wonderful evening. Listen, tonight we are going to be talking about... We're going to be talking about small group versus whole group instruction. So this is something that's kind of new for me. I mean, in Indiana, I went to a workshop this past summer, and I first heard about education kind of swinging to the place of whole group instruction. And I don't know... how you've been taught, but going back to even my college days, small group was where it was at. And I'm always open to new ideas and understanding what is the best return on investment that we have in our class. And, you know, what's going to get the biggest bang for our, what we're doing in the classroom. So I'm open to understanding this, but I'm going to be honest with you. The very first time I heard it, I thought, no way, it goes against every single thing I've ever been taught. So we're going to be talking tonight about small groups versus whole group instruction and what's best for elementary students. So I don't know, after researching this, I may come out with a different idea. I kind of feel like at the end, though, we're going to come down to it being balancing it all out and using what's best for your kids in this situation. I don't think for education that any one way going all the way is ever going to work. I know back a few years ago, we had whole word learning versus phonics learning or breaking the word apart. And sometimes there is a place for whole word learning, but most of the time we need to learn how to break those words apart. But you really need to embrace both. Once a child understands, for example, when you're walking through the grocery store and you are standing in the lane to check out and you just look over and you glance at a headline about recipes, you see the word recipes, you do start remembering that word is recipes. You don't have to sound that out anymore because you've actually memorized that sequence. And so it becomes a part of your whole word learning. So don't come at me. I'm not saying that that's the way we should learn, but I'm saying once you get past breaking a word down, you do tend to go into that whole word memorization. As adults, we do that. And even students, when they begin learning to read. So I just want to welcome you to the Education Connection. We're going to explore real talk for teachers. Of course, I'm your host, Robin Wilson, and today I'm diving into a hot topic in elementary education. And I say it's a hot topic because when I first heard about going whole group for everything, it was a little hot topic for myself, and I know it was for other educators, as I've talked about. And you know the saying is true, I did not experience it until after I'd been teaching for a few years, but education just goes in a big circle. And so everything goes around and it comes back around. The old becomes new and the new becomes old. So I just want to dive into this to see what maybe your thoughts are. Which one works better? Why is it such a big debate right now? And most importantly, what's best for our students? So grab your coffee, and at the end of the day, maybe if you're just grab a snack from the kitchen and let's jump in. So we're going to start with a quick refresher. A small group instruction is when a teacher works with a few students at a time, usually grouped by ability.
while the rest of the class maybe works independently, or maybe they're working in other small independent groups, giving you time, freeing time up for you to be able to work with small groups. It's often tied to approaches with guided reading, which became super popular through balanced literacy programs. Now, whole group instruction, on the other hand, means teaching all students together, exposing everyone to the same lesson, typically at grade level. This approach is becoming more common in classrooms that follow the science of reading model. So I think the science of reading is where this is kind of starting to explore into the classrooms and go into the classrooms a little bit. So for years, ever since I've been teaching, small groups have been set as best practice. Why? Because they allow us to differentiate. We can meet kids right where they are, give them targeted instruction, and build relationships in those cozy little circles. Teachers have the flexibility. You can reteach, extend, or just check in with struggling readers without losing the whole class. But there's a catch. The catch to some it's a criticism, and it's getting louder, especially from researchers and science of reading advocates, is equity. When we group students by ability, we sometimes unintentionally track them, and that means struggling students, often students from low-income backgrounds, get less access to grade-level content. But listen, I'm in the classroom, and when I'm working with those small groups, I'm making sure that I do meet with every group and not just my high group. So I'm making sure that all groups are being met with. But this is the criticism, that some are not meeting with those small groups. And so when one group is working with the teacher, the others are supposed to be engaged in meaningful work. But let's be honest, sometimes it's more like worksheet. But that does not have to be the case. As a defender of small groups, we would have games, and I had an assistant with one of my games, and then one of my groups was a required reading program that our school requires to do. So that was putting that group in a required environment that they were not goofing off and they were not playing around. As any classroom setting, you're always going to have those times when you have students that are goofing around. So I'm not saying I never did have that happen, but I can tell you for a surety, I worked to meet with my lower students, and I worked to make sure every student had time with me as a teacher in my small group so that no one was left behind. And the other thing that I did in defense of this is I actually would meet with my lower group sometimes more than my higher group. It's not that I left my higher group out, but I could honestly get them started on reading, say, a chapter in a chapter book and going to answer the questions. Like, I could set them off to reading the chapter while I worked with my lower group. And then at the end of that group, go back and assign my higher group with some comprehension questions, and they could actually do that on their own. So in reality, from somebody that has worked for many years in small group, my smaller groups got more close-up, one-on-one attention with me. But that's the criticism, is that students are left out in some situations. And I'm not saying in your situation that they were either, but that's what some are saying. So why they're saying whole group is on the rise, the model emphasizes explicit, systematic teaching, especially in reading. Everyone gets the same content, the same instruction, and the same high expectations. The science of reading community really backs this up, saying it's the best way to build foundational skills, especially in phonics and comprehension. Supporters also argue that you lose less time switching groups and managing behavior. More teaching time equals more learning. So I'm looking at that, and I can see the benefit of that. If I could just stop here and go off of my notes a little bit, in teaching in a whole group, unless I am on my toes, my tippy toes, there are some that will be staring off into space or possibly not following along. And me trying to get the information out there, I'm just human. And so me trying to get the information out there and teach them, I have had those students that are not paying attention equally as much as what the criticism is for small group instruction. So when I'm in a small group, I'm actually able to identify that quicker and tap the table and bring them back to me a little bit better in small group. But I can see what they're saying about the switching of the group and losing time. So there is that. I'm trying to stay open-minded. And also, of course, whole group instruction isn't without its flaws. Some students might get left behind if they're not at grade level. So if you're teaching at grade level in whole group, there are some that are going to be higher and there's going to be some that are lower. So this is the criticism. And without some form of differentiation, it's hard to address the wide range of needs we see in every classroom. That's where many educators are asking, do we really have to choose? So, and I'm kind of moving, like before, I've always done a whole group lesson and then we moved into small group. The whole group lesson has been on their level and then we move into small group to teach individually and kind of bring it down together. So I kind of like this idea. A lot of teachers and researchers are calling for a balanced approach, and that's what they're calling it. Whole group for core instruction like phonics, vocabulary, and comprehension, and then data-informed small groups to reinforce or extend learning. The key here is being intentional, not just grouping kids by level and keeping them there forever. And I know every teacher in my hallway, and I can honestly say I don't know of any teacher that keeps a student there forever in that group. Once they see them growing, the groups are fluid. And I think if you're really paying attention to your class and you know which direction a student is going, you are able to make your groups fluid. It's a matter of just changing some names on a board that you might already have up and just, you know, switching a couple out and moving some up, moving some down. These should be fluid in your classroom, not keeping them there forever. And so that was one of the criticisms of small group instruction in balanced literacy, is they get stuck there forever. But I can tell you, I don't know any teachers that actually do that. I think as educators across the board, we need to come together and do less judging and more open talk about it and understanding educators and what they're doing in their classrooms, instead of the assumption that they're, for example, keeping them forever in a small group. Because, I mean, I don't really know anybody that's doing that. So back to small group or whole group, it's not about picking a side. It's about using the best tools at the right time. So I kind of like that idea. So small groups or whole group, the answer isn't one way or the other. The real question is, how do we make sure every student gets what they need? That might mean rethinking how we use time, how we group our students, and how we plan instruction. So it's okay to evolve. I'm always trying to evolve. And when I first hear something like that, my immediate reaction was, no, I think what I'm doing is working. But as any profession, the way to grow is to stay open-minded and take a look at it and see what the positives and the negatives are and make what is the best decision for you in your classroom at the time. And just be careful as you're planning your instructions. Obviously, if you have a student that is not going to be able to survive in that whole group instruction because maybe they're lost, they need to be pulled back in a small group at some point. What worked 5 years ago may not serve our kids today, and that's okay. Before I go, I want to share something exciting. I've officially launched my own web store, and I talked about this over the last couple of weeks, and I just want to shout it out there again today. If you're looking for resources that support both small group and whole group instructions, especially in the early grades, check out firstgradeloves.com. You'll find materials I've used in my own classroom, all designed with intention and a heart. Now, right now, I have one product up there, and it's Get Ready for First Grade. And I'm just going to be honest, I went to upload Get Ready for Second Grade, and I downloaded the product from my my drive, and I looked through it, and I said to myself, because that's what I call myself, I think I need to update this product. So that product has, things have slowed down a little bit, because I really want to give quality resources. I don't want it to be something that's been on the shelf for a while. I am updating it right now with the science of reading in mind, and I will be up. I'm going to take this whole week to update that product, Get Ready for Second Grade. So if you know somebody going into second grade, just stay tuned, because I am updating that resource with the latest and greatest science of reading research base standards, and making sure that that's all in there. Get Ready for First is already up, and so Get Ready for Second's coming soon. And I want to let you know that will be in the works. And so I don't want to just throw a bunch of products up there. I want to make sure that I'm doing everything with intention, with purpose, and for the best for you, the best resources for you. So, hey, thanks for tuning in to the Education Connection. If this episode sparked some ideas, or maybe stirred up some strong feelings about whether or not you're going to be doing whole group or small group, I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what your thoughts are, because it really kind of has taken me aback a little bit, but I am open. I'm wanting to learn. I'm wanting to do what's best for my students. And at this point, I am doing some whole group, and I'm doing some small group, but I am right now kind of tweaking around with a little bit of the whole group thought process to see, because I'm open. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want what the latest research is saying is best for my kids. I don't want my kids to be left out. I want to make sure that they are progressing. And that's my prayer. And as a teacher, if you're listening to this, you probably also, I pray for my students. I pray, I write about them in my journal. I pray that God would bless them and that God would help them to grow. I do pray for the words that come out of my mouth when I'm teaching. I pray that God will lead me and guide me in exactly the things I need to say to them, or the silliness I need to say to them to get their attention, or the games I need to play to get their attention to learn. And so I do pray about that. And I don't want to be closed-minded. And I want God to use me in teaching. He's called me to teach, and I want Him to direct my thoughts. Psalms 32:8 said, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And I pray that for my students. Lord, guide me and the teacher listening along the best pathway for our education, for our students, for our academics. It says, I will advise you and watch over you. God, advise us and watch over us to help our students in the best way possible. So thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow the show and leave a review if you found this helpful. It really helps other educators to find me. So until next time, stay inspired, keep growing, and remember, you make a difference every single day in the little lives that you touch. Have a great week.